Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode to help strengthen unity in the body of Christ. We want you to be part of the conversation, so make sure you comment, like, share, and follow. I'm your host, Preach. We got a great conversation for you today. Let's get into it. I feel like you're right in that girls would be more aware of it and feel more some kind of way about it. But yeah, if you wore the same thing maybe 2-3 days in a row, I'm not going to notice.
And sometimes, especially with outer shirts, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Especially if I'm doing like I have a nicer shirt like this one.
Yeah.
That I like anyway. I don't know how nice this is, but not like business class or anything, but I might wear it like 2 days in a row because I wear an undershirt anyway.
Exactly. Right.
Especially if I'm doing meetings or something.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, absolutely. A lot of my shirts, especially my outer shirts, I mean, I'll take them off and they don't go straight in the wash because unless I spilled something on it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Unless I was sweating.
I always wear an undershirt.
Yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah. I can't not wear an undershirt because it'll ruin my good shirts.
Right.
Right. And so I'm always wearing an undershirt.
My wife who got me into that. I never wore undershirts until I met her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a little bit of like a structure thing that it adds too.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice. So.
So what do you mean by like the structure?
Well, like it adds structure underneath and kind of smooths you out a little bit too.
Yeah, you're right.
Especially for us overweight folks. So. It does. It does helps a little bit. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I can absolutely see that.
And it gives you a little something right here under your shirt.
Yeah. I'm always...
I could be like my dad. My dad always did like the chest, you know.
Yeah, the chest hair. I'm always worried
Sean
about
Sean Connery
that.
Stance. Yeah, right? like this much chest hair showing in every.
And I don't even have.
I don't have that kind of chest hair though either.
Well, I don't have
my
that
dad
much.
Was like a. Was like a hairy animal.
I don't have that much, but I have a little bit, and it tends to be higher. And so it's like I'll have these little strings.
It's not as cool as it used to be.
No. Well, and I like I've known somebody I've worked with somebody who kind of had like the Sean Connery type of deal where it was like he had a rug, right?
Yeah.
And he would let that rug show. I mean, he would
a rug
unbutton down to like the button that's like right between the nipples.
That was really common
like,
back
then. Yeah. So I mean, that's just kind of how he rolled, but I'm always uncomfortable if I even have a little dip. And I have like one or two of my little hair showing because it's not a lot, but I'm always uncomfortable with that. So every now and again, I'll even like take a little razor to it just because if I have a lower shirt.
Yeah.
I usually don't wear anything.
I wonder if it's going to come back. That'd be interesting.
I know, right? Well, everything
cycles. rotates through cycles,
man.
The mustaches came back, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. Mustaches.
Like mustaches were out for so long. And then now they're just like back with a vengeance.
Exactly. Exactly.
Even and mullets. That's a crazy one to me. Mm-hmm. Like mullets came back. I don't know if they're still in right now, but I still see some.
No. Yeah. But I mean, you see things kind of come and go.
There for a while. It was like a lot.
What gets me is how things will come back around. And last time it was like what you would be made fun of. And now it's cool.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
The biggest one that me and my wife, or the most recent one that me and my wife were just talking about, was how with pants now, everyone likes to have like the tighter pants and they're up high on the ankles.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. The high.
Right. And then back in the day that people used to call that high water.
High waters. Yes.
High water. And they would make fun of it. if you had your ankles showing, then you were high. You had high water pants and you were a nerd.
Yeah. So. My son made me aware of the long socks trend now.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, you know, at least for I think towards the end, as I got in my 20s or something, everybody switched to short socks. Now it's long socks again.
Now it's long socks again.
And I always wear short socks because I don't like long socks. I just never like that. But now it's trendy for long socks. So now I look like I'm old, apparently, for wearing short socks.
There we go. Yeah.
Who knows?
You never know. It switches
too much.
It's all trendy. It comes and goes.
It's all just perception and whatever. Even like Uggs. I mean, you look at Uggs and you're like, what in the world is that?
Yeah. We were talking about that with my daughter the other day. We watched Wicked with her, the movie Wicked. And we were talking about how everybody just kind of flipped on a dime when somebody cool decided something was cool.
Yep.
Because they were making fun of it, and then all of a sudden
when dad does it, it's not cool.
Yeah, when dad does it, it is.
When Ariana Grande does it.
Now it's cool. now, right? And And what's funny is that you can even see that in when something is cool and then a parent tries like says it.
Oh, yeah.
Or tries it. And then,
oh my gosh, I've used
sometimes.
I was starting to use like some of the, you know, the modern Gen Z lingo.
Yeah.
Sometimes I do it from the stage.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I'd be like, oh, this is, Jesus is totally bussing. You know what I'm saying? And and they would all just be like, what are you saying right now?
Right?
Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you trying to be cool?
Don't do it. No.
I was like, I just think it's funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm just going to say it just because I want to say it.
Right?
Yeah. There's an enormously large amount of slang right now.
Absolutely.
I feel like it's more than any other generation.
Oh yeah. Well, and it's, you keep on adding to it.
Yeah.
Right? And
there's an add on too, but like, I just feel like there's more, like yeah. there's way more words.
Yeah.
In fact, someone came out with a Gen Z Bible. Did you ever hear about that?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was able to put like a lot of words
exactly.
in there to replace the words that are supposed to be in there. And it was like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you keep track? It's like a whole nother language almost.
Yeah.
Which, I like that he calls God the top G though.
Right. Nice.
Praise the top G.
What's it called? On last episode, you asked me what is sliding in the DMs? So
oh, yeah, let's go. Tell me what that means.
I don't know if this one's new. This isn't new anymore. I feel like it's been around a while. They might say something else, but because, you know, again, things come and go. But what's it called? The whole idea of sliding into DMs is like your what's the best way of doing this? It's pretty much you're like trying to hook up with the person.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right.
So sliding into
yeah,
the DMs.
Sliding okay. the DMs is supposed to be like
I kind of thought maybe that's yeah. where you're going. Okay. I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah. So yeah, so we're not when we say DM us, we don't mean sliding. We just we're just saying
just DM.
We want to be in a conversation.
Just a regular old DM.
Exactly. Yeah. Just a regular old
school.
Exactly.
And then if you go too old school, they don't know what a DM is though.
All right. Just message us. All right. Message us however you see fit, however you want to do it.
Write me a letter.
Just write. Right. Yeah. If you want to be my pen pal and you want to write, then let's do it.
I probably would not write you back. I'm not good at writing letters.
I love writing.
It's a cool, I love it. You know, there was a time where I had a pen pal like way back when.
Yeah.
But I just have a hard time sitting down and writing something now.
No, yeah. So, okay. See, now we're getting into it.
Maybe it's because I moved into the next generation of the quick.
Like, yeah. Well, and that's what I was going to say. I think that now we're getting into it because we're talking about barriers.
Yeah.
And to unity. And we were talking about, okay, ways that we address this and barriers. And that is, I feel like that touches on one of the barriers that came to my mind.
Oh, sure. Differences in communication?
No.
Oh, because that is a barrier too.
That is a barrier.
Yeah.
The barrier that I was thinking of was our hurry. Just our hurry culture.
Mm.
Like we are constantly, we're go, go, go.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about this even in our last conversation. We were saying how there's, you know, there was this balance between being and doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a culture, we're so do.
Yeah.
Which is why I think we have so much mental health as well, because we don't know how to be.
Sure.
Right.
Well, like to your point, if this is where you're going.
Yeah.
If we're doing so much that we don't have time for community.
Exactly.
Then how are we going to like get fed and get prayed for and all those things that help us with our mental state?
Yeah.
And get rest.
Exactly.
Like we talked about rest in the last one is like not just Saturdays or Sundays as your Sabbath, but also, you know, every day get some.
Yeah.
And some of that is, you know, doing community together and working through things, confessing, all those things that we need to do to help our mental ability. If we're too busy, we won't do them.
Yeah. And I mean, that's really what it is. It's do we have time for community and true relationship? Right. Because that unity and relationship, it takes time.
It does. Discipleship
takes time.
Like have mentorship, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And we try to fast track it and program it.
Yeah.
And it's never the same.
Can we do like a 3-week course?
Right. Exactly.
Like, no, dude, discipleship. Like, I mean, like, It shouldn't be less than 3 years because that's what Jesus said.
Exactly. I was going to say, you want a 3 week course?
I do feel like there is kind of like a 3 year thing. I feel like there is.
Year
but it's, yeah, like it's not quick.
Yeah. And it wasn't a 3 year course of once a week, an hour a week.
Daily.
It was, yeah, it was a daily, hour upon hour, 3 year course.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's one of those things to where we try to program and fast track. And the reason we try to program and fast track is because we start from the basis of we're busy.
And what's culture doing?
What's culture doing? Do we, what can people make time for?
Yeah.
Right. And it's so, I mean, I don't know. Do we just, we could say, well, yeah, I said it's our hurry culture, hurry culture. I was going to say, do we want to just say it's our culture or do we want to say it's hurry? But I want to say it's our hurry culture.
Yeah.
So our culture in itself, with all the amazing things that we get from today, and I'm not just one of those people who's like, oh, the world sucks. Everybody sucks right now.
Yeah.
But like with all the amazing benefits and things that we get from today, one of the things that I wish we could rearrange, that we could make an adjustment on, and this would change a lot of things, albeit, but I think it would be worth it, is not being in a hurry.
Yeah. Well, I'm just taking some of the, because not all of it's hurry. Some of it's just filling time with whatever. Yeah. And a lot of that's like,
and it's busyness,
media, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Media makes us feel more busy than we actually
exactly.
are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because there's a lot of time spent on that for most people. And so, how do we just create space to do those things? And that kind of goes to the conflict piece from last time too. We talked about how conflict, we need to get in the room together and talk through those things.
That takes
if
time.
We're too busy,
yeah,
that takes time.
That takes time.
It's and easier just to go to another church.
Yeah, yeah, right? And we want to come in and we want to settle this in 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like we want to get through it in 30 minutes, 60 minutes max. Right.
Yeah, I'll give you a certain amount of time to work. And if we can't work through it, then I'm not going to meet again.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we're going to just escalate things.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through that process of bringing in the other people if I need it and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep. So, man.
Or even meeting with a counselor.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so like what, and again, like our last conversation we were talking about, it's this idea, walking worthy means looking at these things and saying, look, it's worth it. It's worth the effort. It's worth the struggle. It's worth the time. Like unity, community, being in healthy, godly relationship with brothers and sisters in Christ, fixing our home around Christ and the Bible and God, like being able to do that and make God the center of our home.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
It is so worth it.
And show me where your time is. That's where your worship is also.
Absolutely.
And man, we're all guilty of that a little bit.
Absolutely. But. What's it called? My dad will often say worship is worth-ship.
Yeah, it's what you're putting your ascribing worth to. I've heard it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What are you ascribing worth to? And like you said, I mean, your calendar will tell you what you're ascribing worth to.
Yep.
So, man, that's big. Okay. So, but one of the resources that I was thinking of when it comes to that, there is that book, and I'm using that term hurry because it's in this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I'm sure you've heard of it.
Yeah, I've heard
great,
of it. Yep.
Great book. I feel like that's one of those things that we need to, that's one of my recommended books. I have a list of recommended books. It's here on my Kindle and there's a lot of them. But that is one of those books that I recommend, as well as there's a book and there's also a podcast about this called The Way of Jesus. And it talks about, again, looking at Jesus's life and his way. It was this, you know, long course, not short track, but long track, long term, building relationship, investing time.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how Jesus lived. I love there's a saying that Jesus paced at like 2.5 miles per hour, right? like Jesus walked at 2.5. That was his speed. Jesus' speed was 2.5 miles per hour. And it means that he took his time. Like he walked where he went. And he was constantly on his way to a mill or coming from a mill.
And he was always willing to take time.
Take time, yeah.
For the people that came into his path. Like that was one of the things the disciples were like, we don't have time for this.
Exactly.
Like and when the children came, and he's like, well, let the children come to me. And they're like, no, you can't. We got important things to do. And he's like, it's all important. Every life is important. I'm going to take the time for Zacchaeus and the woman at the well and all these people in the Bible that you see him talk to and take time for that most people would have been like, you don't need to take time for that.
Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood. Yeah. On his way to heal somebody. And they're she's about to die. She's about to die. You got to get there. And, you know, got this crowd pushing in on him and everything. And he's trying to get somewhere. And he stopped. He stopped and he took the time to acknowledge her. Lazarus, like, I love.
And he kind of waited.
I think there was some extra purpose. There was absolutely some extra purpose there.
But yeah, no, he took time to we need to wait.
He wasn't in a rush.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And man, to live at that Jesus pace. I remember I put on our Instagram.
That's a good one. I like that.
Right. I put on our Instagram once. I was just at a stoplight or something. So I took a picture and I said, you know, Jesus lived at a pace of 2.5 miles per hour. And I said, well, how about we just start by going the speed limit?
His posted speed limit.
Right. let's just start by trying to stick to the speed limit.
Oh, man, that's a tough speed limit to go. Have you ever driven 2.5 miles an hour?
Oh, no, not that speed limit. I'm talking about the 40 or the...
No, but seriously, if you think about it, that our culture and even just thinking about that, we're probably just like, whoa, I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, you might be listening to me like, I can't slow down.
Yeah. Like, dude, your speed limit is 65.
I don't
right?
know.
And
do you ask
it's
anybody,
not fast enough for you.
Yeah. Do you ask anybody how they're doing and they don't tell you I'm busy? Mm-hmm. Like anybody.
Yeah.
Like almost everybody ever. Like, how's life been? Busy.
Busy.
Man, I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the number one answer.
Absolutely.
Of Americans.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We need to reinstitute siesta. We need
Oh, yes. Dude, if we could take a nap in the middle of the day and it was like culturally acceptable, I would be all over that, man.
Right?
And because, you get so much more done.
Yeah.
If you get like a 20-minute power nap in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Oh, I do it.
Yeah.
I'm not ashamed to admit it.
Make it happen.
I'm not going to let culture dictate my ability to be more effective because I take a little nap in the afternoon sometimes. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we touched on one of my barriers there. This idea of hurry, those resources, Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, the book, and then, the Way of Jesus. There's a podcast on it and there's also a book.
Okay. I would add one, personal preference.
Yeah.
Can be a thing of disunity.
Absolutely.
We look at like culture and stuff. I was actually just talking to someone about this earlier.
Come on now.
I actually really love that there's a diversity of churches because you can get some personal preference by going to the culture that fits you. Like there's, where I was talking, they're Catholic. I was raised Catholic too. And it's a very different culture than the non-denominational charismatic, right?
Exactly.
And that's okay. Like really okay, because they're both preaching the gospel, but it's like the music is different, or maybe you really like hymns versus the rock stuff. And there's no reason to be like, that stuff's of the devil or that stuff's the enemy.
Yeah.
It's okay that God reaches different people through different cultural ways. And if you get outside of the States, you'll see it's even more different. Right?
Absolutely.
Like the church in China is very different than the church in America.
Exactly.
It's all the same church.
Yep.
We're all part of the Big C Church.
Come on now.
But we're doing things differently. And, but unfortunately what happens is within congregations that can happen a lot where you get the, I want more hymns. I want more, whatever. A lot of times I feel like it's around music and how they do. Maybe that's just me because I've been in worship, for a long time.
Music, dress.
It could be dress.
Yeah.
It could be,
the way things are preached.
And it's hard. It's hard to go across, generations.
Yeah.
But we are called to that.
Absolutely.
And you need all generations in a church.
Absolutely.
I actually think it's really beneficial to have, you know, some people want to have like the super young church and they put all their energy towards their young, which I'm so for because I'm a youth guy. but without the wisdom and the resources of the elders, that church is probably going to fail.
Exactly.
Because we're all meant to be in there together.
Yeah.
And there is that generational like pass down of knowledge that needs to happen and all that. And so I love it when churches can reach all generations, but that can only happen when everybody's working towards unity.
Absolutely.
And that requires a little bit of sacrifice,
absolutely.
Usually on the side of the elder. because we are trying to reach the next generation. They have to sometimes like be like, well, I might not get as many hymns as I want, but we are reaching next generation. Yeah. I'm gonna be happy about that.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like as a worship team, I was always like, I'm totally fine throwing in a hymn to the worship set to make it good for everybody.
Right.
And I actually really love hymns.
Yeah.
Especially modern versions of them.
Yeah.
And so there's ways to work towards unity in that.
Absolutely.
But I do think that is definitely one of the big ones that kind of stands out to me when we're thinking about like what can bring disunity within a church. And it's, or it might even be like God, preaching style. It gets the same thing. I like the, what is it called? Where they go straight through the books. There's a name for it.
Oh, exegetical.
Exegetical versus topical, you know, which topical is more like hitting individual topics and like, I'm going to talk about stress. I'm going to talk about this, right? Yeah. And jumping around a little more. And I actually personally like that one a little more, but but I see the benefit of doing both. And so sometimes you get that, you know, or people start bringing up grievances and stuff. Again, you can work through the conflict process we talked about last time. If you have those, and I think those are important things for people to bring to the table and like not just sit and grumble about, because that's not good. But we're not always going to get our way. And so again, it comes back to pride and humility and stuff like that too, being willing to not always be like, this is the way we're going to do it. And have some humility in that.
Exactly.
But also be okay with being that kind of church. And sometimes you have to release people to the culture that they want too. And that's fine too. I think I really do think that's a beautiful thing about multiple churches. All for the same bigger church body is that you will find there are cultures for everybody. Even within Boise area or where we're at. And that's okay. That's great actually.
Exactly.
Because we're going to reach more people if there's more accessibility to what they want culturally.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that you hit on something really big there and understanding the value, appreciating the benefit of, for example, the topical and the exegeticals where you said it at, is, you know, realizing that there's value in each. And I think that's one of the big things, is that we can't hold on to it's our way or the highway. Nothing else is good. And it can't just be, oh, well, that's good for them. Like,
and the value of the elder to youth as well. Same thing. Like there's value in both.
Yeah, exactly. And just realizing that the benefit and the value that different ways of doing things will bring, whether that's different ways of preaching, different music styles, different cultures amongst age groups, just realizing and being able to identify what is the benefit? What is the good here? You know, what can we learn? What can we take from this? What can we rejoice and encourage them in?
Yeah.
Because they're doing this really well. Versus they don't have this, we don't like this, and you know, harping on what we see as the negative.
Yes.
All the time.
Really easy to go to the negatives.
Very easy. Negative is just, it's such a low-hanging fruit.
That's obviously in our nature, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't even say it's low-hanging fruit. It's already in the basket. It's just
totally. I mean, look at the news. Like, why is everything negative? It's because that's, for some reason, we are drawn to that.
Exactly.
In a way.
Yeah.
And that's probably somewhat due to fallen nature or whatever, but yeah, like how can we work together? And the word that came to my mind is appease everyone, but that's not what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
How can we work together where,
I would want to say value.
And value everybody. Yes.
Appreciate
and value everybody. But also like come together on vision.
Yeah.
For what we're all trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Which is that we're all trying to get closer to God.
Exactly.
And we are trying to reach the next generations and the current generations.
Yeah.
And how can we do that in the best way that hopefully works for everybody, but it may be a little different.
Yeah. Exactly.
And how can we have that humility to kind of see where we need to release some of our personal preference?
Where can we release personal preference? And it's one of those things, knowing, you've brought up before, that open hand, close hand, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And knowing
what's an open hand thing,
what's an open hand thing, what's a closed hand thing, and knowing where that changes. Because, for example, a church may decide that, hey, you know, this is where we feel like God is calling us to. This is the vision and the mission that we have. This is the type of culture that we want to build. This is the way we're going to do these certain things. Mm-hmm. Okay, like, great, right? You can say, because we feel like this is what God's calling us to, we want to rally around this. This is going to help us as an organization to stay unified, right? Mm-hmm. To stay focused here. So we're going to close our hand on doing these specific types of things.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. You want to close your hand on that? That's great. What we don't do is close our hand around those things theologically and say you have to do these things this way to be saved. Right.
Yes.
And so it's like that. you have to know where that changes, yeah. Especially to, and again, it's one of those like, okay, we may decide, for example, we may decide, hey, contemporary music is the best, like the rock. Contemporary yeah. is the best way of doing things for us at this church.
Right.
We're always going to do that way. We're not messing with the hymns. We're not messing with gospel. We're just going to, we're not doing acapella type stuff.
This
we're
is
staying,
the culture we're reaching.
This is the culture yeah. we're reaching. All right, great. That doesn't mean you look at a visitor who says, man, I really would like to do more hymns, or I'd really like to do more gospel or whatnot. And you say, well, look, it's our way or the highway. If you go anywhere else, you know, then you're just wrong.
Well, no, definitely not wrong. Well, right? That's where should be like totally releasing, right?
We should be
like, you know what?
Yeah,
I know a church down the street that does it just like that. And I think you would love them. I know their pastor. That's also the part of where we should be in community with the other pastors and youth pastors in town, because we know like this church does it this way.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. And like, I'd love to send you to a place where you want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's great. And like where they have a vision that you want to follow. So like, some churches really want to work towards like helping the homeless. And some mm-hmm. people are like, that's my heart. I want to go to a church that works towards the homeless.
Exactly.
And all the churches probably want that to some degree, but we can't all do the same thing.
No.
Like, and we can't do everything.
Yeah.
No church can do every ministry.
Exactly.
Like, it's just impossible.
And you shouldn't,
the
you shouldn't
other
be
beauty,
trying.
The other beauty of the multiple churches is that they can choose. And also the other beauty of knowing what the other churches are doing. Like if this church is doing a food pantry mm-hmm. and that's their ministry that they're like really focused on, I can send my people that want to do food mission to them. Mm-hmm. And even just the people that want to like raise, food once a year to do that. They can do it in our church and raise it all and can give it to them to distribute.
Exactly.
I don't need to start my own food pantry.
No.
And that's the same with homeless ministry, any ministry, youth ministry. If you're like super, like I'm into youth and this church focuses highly on youth and that's where I want to be, 'cause that's kind of like me.
Yeah.
Then that's great. Go to that church that wants to focus on that. Like find the vision and mission of the church that you want to go to and go there. And because God might be calling you to that.
Yeah.
And then the other churches, be willing to let people go if they don't want to follow the vision that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because they're not all, I feel like if the person's talking to God, whoever's leading the church mission and vision for that church, they know what God's placed on their heart and they're going towards it. And people will come that want
people
that vision
will,
and mission.
That align with that.
And if they want to go be a part of a different one that's focusing on something else, go do that one.
Exactly.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because then you end up with really successful ministries because the people that are interested in doing that homeless care ministry are there and they're rocking it.
Exactly.
And they're not trying to do 20 million different ministries where the same people are getting tapped for everything and they're getting burned out because they're trying to do
and we've
every
that.
Ministry known to have. Totally seen that. But no, they're working with the other churches and they know like what everybody else is doing and then we all achieve more.
Exactly.
Together. And that's the other, you know, the big unity piece of not just being just your church silo.
Yeah.
Like knowing what the other churches in town are doing.
Exactly.
And being able to, and even being able to go serve with another church, even if you're going to the same church.
Yeah.
That you've been going to forever.
Yeah, right.
Like it's okay to go serve or like you see that some other church is doing a homeless ministry and that's something you want to do and your church isn't really doing that.
Yeah.
It's okay to go serve with another church. They're all the church body. They're all your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Right. See, now we're going to have some people cutting us off and be like, oh no, we can't share this with other people. We can't share this with our church members. They're going to.
I rebuke that. Sorry. You can write me later.
But no, I think that's really big. Okay. Oh man. No. Yeah. I think that's really, so two things. Remind me to come back. Remind me to come back, to working along with another church, like going and serving. You may be part of this church, but you're going to serve as part of another church because they're doing something you enjoy in.
Yeah. That you're called to. Yeah.
Right. So bring me back to that. Mm-hmm. But something that you said, it just made me think we're talking about releasing and allowing people.
Yeah.
Right. To say, okay, we may not be your preference, but your preference is over here, or your preference is over there. I mean, there's a lot in that. Like you said, there's the networking and knowing, and that way we could work together, because it's mm-hmm. it's about building the kingdom and not our congregation, yes. but the kingdom, right? And so that mindset has to be there. Something that me and my wife have come back to time and time again is really this concept of, okay, you can look at it as we're losing people, we're holding on to people, we're releasing people, or we're sending people.
Yeah.
Right. And especially if it's someone who has been part of your ministry for a while, I would say you have a responsibility to send and not just lose or release. You're only going to lose if you're trying to hold on to them, right? Oof. That's the only way you get to the lose. You have to,
yeah.
right? If you're willing to send, then it's a releasing. It could be a releasing. But if you're not willing to send, you're just trying to hold on to people, then it's going to be a lose.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like if they've been part of your ministry for a while, you have a obligation to send.
Yeah.
Even if you have somebody that's coming
years.
By, right? right? I would say, but maybe even if somebody is visiting, right? Like you met somebody at Albertsons, right? Shout out to Albertsons. That's where I normally shop. So say you met somebody at Albertsons, they start coming to your church mm-hmm. or they come to visit your church. Like it's just one time. You invited them, they yeah. come through to visit one time, you're talking with them, they're like, you know, this really isn't our thing. We're thinking about trying this church or that church, but we're looking for this. Like send them.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean like pray for them,
yes.
bless them yes. on their way out and send mm-hmm. them forward with blessing and just praying that God is going to put them exactly where he wants them. And they're going to be in the right place and be part of what God is doing.
That's a real opportunity. Actually.
That's a real opportunity.
An opportunity to fail too.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you don't and you're just like, no, you have to, you know, if you go there, you're yeah. You're going to be. It's not going to work out,
yeah.
you know, and like putting that kind of a damper on mm-hmm. another church or another congregation or something.
Yeah.
Unless you know something, yeah. in the sense of more like, I don't want to lose this person.
Yeah.
If you're taking it from that approach versus the, knowing something about yeah. something.
But be a partaker in that. Like if they're going to be going, partake in that. And bless them, pray for them, send them, be part of them going and being part of this ministry or that ministry.
Yeah. And I've had to send people and it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard when you've brought someone up and you're mm-hmm. like, oh, I'd love for you to just like serve here with me.
Yeah.
But there is something to that. And I think a lot of times God is moving people around to spread what maybe you've learned together
mm-hmm.
and to reach more people.
Yeah.
And so we really have to change our mindset about that. And I had to kind of go through that, not too long ago, really.
Mm.
And, but then in the after,
yeah,
I still know those people and I've seen it and I've been like, man, that's so great.
Exactly.
It's so great what they're doing, what God called them into and what they're starting to move into and do, for his kingdom. And I'm so glad that I got to be just a part of
exactly
their ministry and their walk. And that's the blessing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like that is, like you said, that's the blessing, just to be a part of it.
Yeah. And that God blesses to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm going to use you guys together and you get to be a part of their walk. They get to be a part of your walk.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's a really beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
The way God created that community and all that.
Yeah. So I think, we have time for one more. I have a quick thought because I feel like we've been touching on it a little bit and then I'm going to let you maybe if you have one more to say something. So I'm going to throw mine out there real quick. And it's really this mindset of success is what happens here, right? Like we're thinking of within our organization or a lot of times it comes back to within our building mm-hmm. on our campus. Like this is success, what we do here.
Mm.
And then so we kind of get this closed mind around this church and not the ecclesia as a whole.
Yeah.
Or, you know, what our church does happens here on this campus.
Right.
And I really, really feel like a big part of unity, kind of touching on what you said and saying, like, you can be part of this church. You've been attending there for 10, 15 years, but you also volunteer alongside this other church doing this or that because they're doing something that you have a passion for, right? Yeah. And it's realizing that, look, if your church 10X, I'm just reading off of a book here, your church 10X, and they go to volunteer at Church Kirkland, because I have a Kirkland water bottle over here, right? So you have a church member of 10X who's been there for 10 years, right? But they're going now and they're starting to serve with the homeless ministry along with this homeless ministry over at Kirkland, right? That, yes, Kirkland can rejoice and say, yeah, we have another volunteer. We have this many people helping out with the homeless ministry. We're doing this and that. But guess who else can say that?
The other church, yeah.
Church 10X. For sure. Church 10X can say, yeah, we help with a homeless ministry. We serve the homeless. Why? Because that person, that is 10X church.
Yeah.
It's not what happens there on the campus, what happens in the building. Mm-hmm. It's not what happens under official umbrella of this is a 10X ministry.
Right.
But it's the fact that this is the body of Christ. This is a member, right? That is part of your church. So wherever they go, where your church works at Taco Bell and your church works at Albertsons and at Micron and your church works, you know, wherever you may have people who work, like that's where your church works. You have your church serves in the military. Your church, right, serves as law enforcement or first responders. Like, your church is doing all of these things, not because it's an official, you know, umbrella ministry or it's happening there on your campus, but your church is the people of your church.
Yeah.
So where they go and whatever
church
they do.
Church is the people, not the building.
Exactly. That's what your church is doing. And that is the success, right? Is what are we doing out? I would say more so, what are we doing outside of this building?
Yeah.
Rather than what are we doing in it? Or what are we doing off of this campus more than what we're doing on it? That would be in my, and that's, again, that's probably a personal preference or whatnot, but that would be my expectation or measure of success. What are we doing out there? Not just in here, right?
Because are we working with the other churches?
Yeah, right? And how well are we?
I don't think many churches have that on their list of achievements for the year. Like, how well did we work with other churches this year?
Yeah.
That'd be a good one.
Right? Well, and are we being a light? Where we are in the community, are we being a light or are our lights covered?
Mm.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Or the lights dim? You know, are we being salt or are we just being thrown out and trampled on?
Yeah. Like, I saw a crazy statistic about it because you're kind of touching on evangelism a little bit.
Yeah.
That most churches do not feel like they're good at evangelism at all.
Yeah.
Like they just did this poll. Kerry Newhoff, you know who that is?
Okay. No.
He's a big leadership guy. Does a
sounds
lot of stuff
familiar
with the church.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And he put out this thing called Trends. It was like 2025 Trends for the church. And one of the things is there is this new push to kind of do outreach and evangelism type. And that's me too. I'm like,
absolutely.
I just want to get out and maybe meet some people outside of my church so that I can actually maybe present it to someone new.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get people to come to church for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be out in the community doing it.
Yeah.
And it is those like Micron workers and those,
the
workers in your church are the ones who have the most opportunity because the people in the church, they're only talking to church people.
Exactly.
That's been one of the biggest struggles I've had actually with being on staff
in
the church.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cause I'm like, I'm not talking to anybody that doesn't know Christ already.
Right.
And that as an evangelist was really hard for me.
Oh, I bet.
So I'm really excited about this kind of newer position I'm in because I feel like I'm able to get out more and talk to more people that don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And man, I'd love to see the churches work together and figure that out more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like how can we get together and do more outreach maybe together as the church or just in general?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's big. I feel like for so long, evangelism has been captured or this idea of going out and reaching people has always been captured on like we're sending out a reel and we're trying to bring them back into our church.
Yeah.
When really it should be, hey, we're going out and we're planting the seed of the kingdom there, and we're planting the seed of the kingdom there. And we're, rather than saying, come here and be part of the kingdom, we're mm-hmm. taking the kingdom there.
Ooh, yes. Right? I have a good book to recommend.
That's
on
how
that one.
That's how the kingdom spreads, is not we're going to bring more people into our one castle.
Right.
But no, now we have an outpost yeah. and another outpost, and the kingdom's growing there. And before you, it's like, man, it's like Settlers of Catan, right? It's like you move out and then you plant a seed.
Yeah.
You build a little town and then you grow it into a city. And like, that's how the kingdom spreads and grows yeah. rather than, nope, I'm just going to bring everyone back here to this town until it becomes a city. Yep. And then we're going to make a bigger city. And
yeah, as soon as Jesus was done with those disciples, man, he sent them.
He sent.
They went out.
Right.
There's a book called, I actually have a book to recommend.
Come on now. Let's do it.
It's called Out of the Fourth Place. Have you heard of that one?
No.
It's really good, because what it talks about is how church has become a fourth place.
Okay.
So we have our place. Our home is number one.
Yeah. Work is two.
Work is two.
Right.
Three is like community buildings of yeah, yeah. sorts, like schools, different yeah, things yeah. like that. And then church has become like this fourth place.
Yeah.
And part of that's because we moved out of homes into yeah. into a place, and it's always bringing people to our place.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with church having a building yeah, and doing
bring,
that.
Invite people.
But how do we also do the other thing?
Exactly.
And that's where life groups, and oftentimes that's what life groups are, or small groups, whatever, yeah, yeah. whatever the church calls it, is that that's the home, right? That's getting back into the first place.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a lot easier to invite someone to your home for dinner
yeah.
than it is to invite them to church.
Exactly.
And then going into schools and yeah. praying for them, and like different, there's all these different places that we need to reach, and it can't just be about the fourth place.
Yeah.
Which is just bringing people to your church.
Exactly.
Like, we need to be out engaging.
Yeah,
exactly. With people out in the community somehow.
Yeah.
And a lot of that's through homes, I think.
Yeah.
And doing like, hey, just invite your neighbor over for dinner.
Yeah.
You know, and I know a lot of churches have tried to, you know, make initiatives to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just not enough.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're not reaching as many people as we could.
Yeah. You know, Jesus never had a church.
He never had a church building. He did go to temple, though. He did go to the temple and teach.
He went to the temple, right? But I mean, what's funny is that was like his
that was his correcting Bibles. Mistake. Yeah, right? You guys are doing it wrong.
Right? Exactly. Like, those were the people who wanted to crucify him. He was going and preaching in their church.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah. No, that's true.
So, yeah. So I find that interesting.
It is interesting. But yeah.
But yeah, no one can say they had a more impactful ministry. And I mean, and he spoke to thousands still.
He did.
Without a building. Yep. Right?
Just went he spoke on to the thousands. Lawn.
Just, but it's because of the way that he was that guy, out engaging in Cliff, the community.
Yeah, Cliff, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-mm. He's a pastor and he goes on to church. Campuses all the time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
I can't remember what his last name is, but his name is Cliff.
Yeah,
and I love watching him because he just goes and like just shares the gospel and he's very respectful.
Yeah,
but he's super smart. He's able to just really talk through some of the big challenging questions that people ask. I love following him because I was like, man, someday I would love to do that.
Mm.
Like, and that takes a certain level of boldness to like walk onto a college campus, especially these days, and just start talking to people about the gospel like that.
Boldness.
But you see, like, he gets these big crowds
standing
around him. Just like, they're interested. They want to hear. People are looking for truth.
Exactly.
And like, how do we get out there and give? And I think this is actually next generation. I've heard some some things about this generation that's coming up they are seeking some truth because they're so disinformationized.
Absolutely.
If that's a word. I don't know if I just made that up or not. But anyway.
We're going to use it. We're going to coin it.
I like it. Disinformationized.
We're going to
print
a t-shirt.
Yeah, that would be a good t-shirt.
In Hope Podcast. Disinformationized.
There's so much about that they want something that's true.
Yeah.
And we need to be out there giving it to them.
Nice. No, yeah. I agree. And I think you're right in that this generation does seek truth. Just like I would say Gen Z. Millennials, there was a push within those generations that while a lot of times They were characterized as like very self-absorbed and whatnot. There was also a push within those generations of, no, I want to do something. I actually want to make a difference.
They want to make a difference in the world. Yeah, they want to be world changers.
Yeah. And so there was this like, no, I want to get out and do something and make a true impact.
But they need the direction to take it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I mean, every single time, and again, it's one of those things where you see God and just him writing on our hearts and putting things in place because
it's on our hearts.
It's on our hearts. I mean, they want to be a part of something impactful and change the world. There's nothing more impactful and world changing than the gospel.
No.
Right. The good news and the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. There's
setting people free. Right. Come on now. Sin and all those things and then putting them into purpose.
Yeah. Reconciling relationships.
Come on.
So yeah. I mean, it's one of those things to where and I feel like it's the same thing here. Like we just want truth with all of, and I think it's always, and again, it's usually a pendulum, a pushback on what they've seen in the world. Right. Yeah. They've seen the self-absorbed, they've seen, you know, this microcosm of people being stuck in their bubble, and it's this pushback of, no, I want to make a true impact. They've seen so much go wrong, and people of influence or organizations of influence, dare even say churches, not impacting their community. And they're like, no, I want to be somebody that makes a true impact. Yeah. Right. And I think it's the same thing with this generation coming up of, I want truth, because they see the disinformation. Yeah. They see so many lies and so many things that are put out there now. And you can get a hold of 100 different theories and 99 of them are all a lie. And it's like, they just want truth.
Yeah.
What's more true than the truth, the way and the life, right? Yeah. Like, so it's.
Well, and they're also seeing the destruction of just self-indulgence even.
Yeah.
And some of the things that the Bible speaks against.
Exactly.
Because it is harmful.
Exactly.
And they're seeing it and they're like, man, this is not working.
Yeah.
Like my addictions are not giving me what I need. Mm-hmm. They're good quick fixes, but they're not actually like fulfilling me. And then there's always like the next thing I need to do to fill that hole. We all have that God-sized hole. I really do think that's a true thing. And that's true of relationships.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we think it's a person going to fill that hole, like a relationship. And, you know, they give us, you know, God gave us the opposite gender for that purpose to have that a part of that, but they are never going to fill the hole that God fills.
Yeah. And if you look for them to
and
do that,
then you're going to struggle in your marriage because you're asking that person for a lot. They are not God. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
That's a whole nother topic, but we won't get into it. Yeah. But, right. Like we have this thing in us that like, we need something more.
Yeah.
And they're coming to that end of like, this isn't the thing.
Exactly.
Like this addiction is not the thing.
Yeah.
This is this struggle that I'm going through, or this even like all the money in the world and pursuit of those things for happiness. And they realize how temporary it is. I've seen so many talks from like famous people who like got it all. There was actually a really good one. They did a United Night last year.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there. He was a skateboard dude and he was really into like the X Games stuff.
Okay.
And he was also like a music producer and stuff. And he's like, I got everything I wanted.
Yeah.
Same with Brian Head Welsh, who was like the former bass player for Tool, which was this really famous rock band that just did really awesome, but they super got into drugs and all this other stuff. And he wrote a book called Save Me From Myself, where he's like, we had it all.
Yeah.
And you hear this over and over again with people that do have it all, like what we consider all.
Exactly.
And they're like, but I was still empty.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like I still don't have it. Dude. And they can't put in point what it is. And gosh, dang it. That's God.
Yep. God size hole. Like, God size hole.
It's God that you don't have. And so like, it's hard for people to realize. And the unfortunate thing is that most of us will never know what that's like, because we won't have it all as what we consider.
And
what
unfortunately
all is.
We can be deceived by thinking,
that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I'll get there someday. But then we might never get there. But then unfortunate thing is when we do get there, we'll still be like, oh, I don't have it all.
Yeah. Or
it's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah. Or we never get there and our life ends. And then we realize we were pursuing the wrong thing the whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. And
the impact that we had was only for ourselves.
Exactly.
Because usually a lot of that's rooted in some kind of selfishness and we don't change the world.
Yeah. Man.
We change the world for ourselves maybe. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that impact that that we really get to be proud of. I think
exactly.
It's really interesting. Like, you just don't get the same kind of value in yourself out of just serving yourself.
No.
That you get from when, like, as soon as I started baptizing people,
come on now.
I just like, man, how, and it's not even for me. That's for God.
Yeah.
But like, just seeing that a person come to know who God is and like experiences the same things that I got to experience is so life-giving to
me.
Absolutely. And they're not going to serve me for the rest of their life. They're going to serve God.
Yeah.
But it's like, that gave me something.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if I could just do that more.
Yeah.
Cause there's so much. Yeah. I don't know even how to describe it. It's just an awesome thing to witness God's life, God working in someone else the same way he did for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say, it's like stepping stones, right? You have that working for self is that first level. That's so temporary and comes and goes. And then you can have that, man, we serve people, right? And you're making an impact and you're changing things for people, right? And then there's that next level, but that top one, even that's going to fall short of this is for God, right? And this is for the kingdom and this is for eternity. And what's interesting about that is that in all of these, if you were to pour water, right, on that first one and you're feeding that first one, well, then it's only going to affect that first one. Mm-hmm. If you're pouring water on the second one, then yeah, it's going to affect some of those people and it's going to affect you some, right? But if you pour water on that top one and you're feeding into the kingdom and you're mm-hmm. serving God, then it's going to affect thousands of people.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to affect them more than it would have if you went straight there, and it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect you more than if you would have gone straight there or even to the next one. So it's kind of like you have
And what this. You're doing is eternal.
Exactly.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Like, you can't compare to that.
You cannot compare that to having a hit. You know, because I was a music guy and wanted all those things. Like, I want to be a famous musician someday, and that would be amazing. And it still would. I'd still mm-hmm. take that for different reasons now, though. Because now my music's all turned Christian.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just want people to hear a message from God, mm-hmm. hopefully for something he downloaded through you. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And, but before it was like, that was very just for me.
Yeah.
And God just completely changed my heart on that.
Man, that makes me think of a movie, Troy, because he's always talking about trying to like live forever and be remembered and be legend uh-huh. Achilles is.
Yeah, right.
And so it just makes me think of so often, I mean, you have these things where people are trying to aim to be the best and be remembered. Sandlot, mm-hmm. right? Legend never dies, kid. Right. So but really what will last is that eternal. All of that stuff is gonna fade away.
Can you remember anybody that, I mean, there's a very few, like the Beatles or something, you know, like some of these big musicians, and even them, like you ask the next generation who the Beatles are, they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Who are you talking
about?
You may
recognize some songs, but you're not going to know them.
You're not going to know them, and eventually they won't know them at all.
Yeah.
Like eventually the generation, because that's still like just a few generations.
You have a few people here and there that remember.
But like, what about, what's the famous musicians from the 1400s?
Yeah. Exactly.
Nobody knows.
Right.
Right. Somebody might know because they're like some history buff or something. Right. And maybe they have some kind of recording or something.
But yeah.
And
but then again, it's so far and few between.
It's like, so far. Not... And there's so much new stuff coming out all the time.
Exactly.
That we are. So, I mean, even the people that I grew up with, I'm like, are they still doing music? I don't even know.
Right.
And you know, they have some longevity there, but uh-huh. eventually they won't.
Yeah.
Eventually it won't matter.
Yeah, exactly.
And hopefully we can impact, the people around us in a really good way, but
that will be eternal.
Right? That will be, and that's the goal right now. Now it's like, okay, how can I do it for more of an eternal type?
Something that will last. Absolutely.
How can I teach people who Jesus is and what that means to them? Like, that they're worth something.
Yeah. And that, man, that I feel like that God shaped hole when you were talking about, it kind of just brings us all the way back full circle to that innate hunger that God puts in us for things that are of the kingdom and that are eternal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think last time when we started talking about that, we were talking about skydiving and scary movies and stuff.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that brings us back around full circle. And we have a couple things that we need to talk about, because I know we were talking about just even like that idea of burnout among pastors. talking about that idea of how we balance each other within a marriage, right?
Mental health.
The mental health, yeah.
And also so, within the staffing of churches, the mental health struggles there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're going to have to get to those. We ran out of time for today. We got to close it. But yeah, I think that was great. Any last words?
Not specifically on that one.
No, that's good. We're good. All right. We're going to close off. Remember to be part of the conversation, and I'm just going to pray to close. I mean to pray, and I don't always pray when we close.
That's good.
So yeah, I'm just going to pray. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Remember, we want you to be part of the conversation. So comment, like, share, and follow. Also, we want you to consider being a ministry partner with us. For as little as $2 a month, you can help continue this podcast and other ministries that teach about unity and invest in collaborative efforts. Connect with us via social media throughout the week, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Monday on the In Hope podcast.